to the Prophecy Club. I've got Stan Deo on the phone. This is the guy that has developed a process to forecast earthquakes. It's now used by the Navy. He's a researcher, written the very popular book, Cosmic Conspiracy. He has various patterns that he's discussed and researched into Yellowstone, what's going on there. He works through seven different computer languages, studies biblical Hebrew. He is a prophecy student, and today he's going to tell us the name of the Antichrist. Stan, welcome back to the Prophecy Club.
Thank you, SJ. Good to be here.
Okay, so this is something everybody wants to know. Tell us, what is the name of the Antichrist, and how did you arrive at that name?
As I said in the program we did yesterday in Discovering the Garden of Eden, I was able to put the Earth back together as Pangaea and find out where major gold deposits were and are today. This led me on a path of learning more about King Solomon, because according to biblical records, he collected 666 talents of gold a year as his income from tributes and from mining and trading. Now, 666 talents of gold is roughly just under 40,000 pounds of gold, which is considerable in any time's economy. I thought, well, now, where did he get that much gold? The legends about Solomon said that he married daughters of various caliphs or sheikhs around the area to make peace with them rather than war. So he had a lot of wives, and that he had 1,200 horses, chariots, and things. And his wealth by Arab and biblical legend exceeds what archaeology actually finds that he could have had, because you couldn't even grow enough grass in that area to supply what the horses needed, and you couldn't truck it in, it would go off, because there was no trucks anyway. But anyway, his legend has been embellished, but as I've said before, the Arab nations there have accelerated his actual accomplishments and greatness, as we have done in the West with the legend of King Arthur. It probably started out with Arturo, the Roman general who retired into Britain and did a lot of cleanup in the area. And they think they've found the hill where he built his round fortress of wood and stuff and the round table. But we have painted him in modern literature from about the late Middle Ages till now as Castle, Camelot, all that kind of stuff. They've done the same thing in the Middle East with the legend of Solomon. Great wise king, great leader. In Hebrew, his name is Shlomo. They have derivatives of that in the names of people in the Middle East today. Suleiman, all those are derivatives of the name of Solomon in the different dialects across the Middle East. I got to thinking, all right, well now, King Solomon was great. The Arabs think that he was great. He had magic powers. He had a flying carpet. He could talk to the animals and make them do what he wanted. He had bird stance and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He had an affair with the Queen of Sheba, which is another interesting story that ties back to the Garden of Eden, and Sheba really being a derivative of the Indian god Shiva when they were connected. But anyway, that's an aside issue. Back to Solomon. He got all this gold and stuff, and he had the magic powers, and he was a wise leader. So the Arabs revere him today as a prophet of God, equal to or greater in favor or prominence or respect to Muhammad. And some of the Arab legends say that a revived or a reborn King Solomon will come to help them in this at the end of this age. So they are looking for a new King Solomon to help them. Now, this is why when we hear that the Solomon's Temple will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount and the Arabs will allow it or the Muslims will allow it, this is why. It's because they revere King Solomon. They don't revere like the Herodian Temple, the Second Temple. They want the first one, the small one that honored Solomon. And the place where they would allow it to be built, we're pretty sure from what they've said, is in the northern part in the wooded area, the little garden area of the Temple Mount, which is not part of the platform that the dome sits on. And in fact, it is right next to something called the Seat of Solomon. They can build this thing within a year, you know, with modern technology instead of taking 13 years like it did originally. The Solomon influence on the peace treaty that's coming is going to be immense. Now, Solomon was not so much a warlord as he was a peacemaker, an appeaser, and very wise person. His father David was the warrior. Nowadays, in the news, I started looking for what the book of Revelation says, you know, the mark of the beast, you know, is the number of a man. Okay, who was the man that had 666 attached to him? Well, only place in the Bible, only man ever mentioned like that, King Solomon. So is his name going to be Solomon? Well, right now, I started looking in the Middle East for who is trying to form a confederation of Arab Islamic states and the old Eastern Roman Empire. One man stands out from Iran, a general that Newsweek says is a military genius and gave him full front cover coverage here recently. His name is General Qasem Soleimani, Solomon. Now, this guy stood off the American army in Iraq. He also, with his Quds force, his army, he is also defeating ISIS in Iraq, and he's making great strides that way. Now, he's not fighting ISIS as being against Islam. He's fighting ISIS because ISIS wants to take a number of countries in North Africa and form them into one big country called a caliphate, run by a caliph or a boss at the top, a king. Qasem Soleimani says, no, I do not support that because I think we should have a confederation of the Arab states that will join and that we keep their sovereignty, but like the United Nations, we let them operate as one entity, but that way we don't have to change customs and cultures, etc., in these various countries into one caliphate under a dictatorship. Let's let it be, and it'll be a peaceful way to bring these countries together. So that's what Soleimani is fighting for. The Antichrist will be a Solomon, and he will bring peace, but he's going to use, as Daniel says, he'll be honoring a god of forces. Now, the Quds, it's called the Quds Force, is what he's taking control there in the Middle East with. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe there will be another Solomon come to the forefront. I've left that open because there are many Solomons and Suleimanis and Suleiman in the Middle East. For instance, the head of the al-Nusra Front, his number two, is Abu Suleiman, a Muslim cleric from Australia, who joined them in Syria to fight for the confederation rather than the caliphate. Now, he's joined forces with Qasem Soleimani. So anyway, look for a Solomon, and Solomon's temple being rebuilt with the permission of the Muslim countries in that area and with Israel's permission on the Temple Mount. It will be a bad thing. We know that from Christian prophecy, but Israel will believe a lie, and so will the rest of the world allow it to happen. Now, the fact that the Pope has been involved with Shimon Peres calling for a new global world religion tells us that all these things are leading toward what prophecy says, a global religion. Now, the United States, I don't think, will be a player in this because I think it is being neutralized. It's almost neutralized now. The situation there is such that the United States cannot defend Israel, and it will be up to God to defend Israel. They'll have to turn back to God in the time of the tribulation, which I think is reasonably close. I reserve the right to be wrong. But Solomon, watch the name Solomon. He will be that guy. Now, the Antichrist has to have this head wound and be revived. And the false prophet will do a lot, making the new world order economy and stuff like that, and causing everyone to receive the mark of the number of, Solomon, the beast, the first beast, or they can't buy or sell.
All of your prophecy understanding, all of this understanding, what do you see over the next 10 years?
I see the Antichrist being revealed first, and then after a short period, a year or two, whatever, three, he gets wounded. And then I see the false prophet coming to the forefront, and he will not be so much a warlord as he is a politician, diplomat, that kind of stuff, a learned man in negotiations and in the economy and how to work financial matters. And right now, one man coming on my radar is the new prime minister of Greece, Alexis Tsipras. So I think the two of them are certainly front runners for Antichrist and false prophet in the next 10 years.
Say on. Tell us more.
Well, okay. Now, there are geophysical and astrophysical things that I'm pretty sure are in progress now and will intensify over the next few years. The sun is a major driver of our planet's climate, its weather. Where we have increased solar activity, certain things manifest in our climate. Extremes of heat and cold and massive storms. when we see the sunspot activity drop off, which it does every 11.5 years, we can see areas like in England where you have cooler weather. Right now, our magnetic field on the Earth is weakening rapidly, and it's at a point where it could invert, like reverse, and our magnetic field reverse. If we are in the stage of the core reversing, you know, the plasma circulating generates the electromagnetic field of the Earth and magnetic field. If we are in process of that and are hit by a massive, say, asteroid impact, which the Bible does allow for in the book of Revelation, it could very well tip, not only tip upside down, but the Earth itself could flip upside down and the sun would rise in the west instead of the east. That's a big if, but certainly we are in a very weak position. And NASA has recently, in the last year and a half, released images from satellites showing the magnetic fields of the Earth in the core. When I say fields, I mean that. They have shown there, you can see in the images, there are two North Poles and two South Poles at the moment. Their mathematical model on the NASA site shows that when a pole reversal occurs, we may have as many as three pairs of North-South poles drifting around inside the planet as the turbulence inside the core, the planet's spinning magma inside, as that turbulence rearranges. And then it will stabilize and we will have just two North-South poles, but they will be perfectly aligned so that there will be one in the southern hemisphere, one in the northern hemisphere. Say at the equator, there will be a north-south pole across the lines of the equator. The poles, there will be like a south and a north, reverse what it is now. In the sun, this very thing happens now. We know that for a fact in what's called the heliomagnetic cycle. The sun reverses its magnetic poles every 11 years. And every 22 years, obviously, it's back to where it was at the beginning of that 22-year period. But what happens is there's a north-south pole field in the northern hemisphere of the sun, and the opposite of that in the southern hemisphere. When the poles start to invert on the sun, say the north pole up there starts and becomes a south pole, then the southern hemisphere, the other pole will not have changed yet, and you'll have two south poles on the sun, on the top and the bottom, until the bottom hemisphere catches up and flips its north-south pair, so that you have a north pole on the bottom of the sun and a south pole at the north. So that same pattern we know happens in the sun, and we think it's going to happen here on Earth, is happening actually, which is going to change a lot of things. As our magnetic field weakens to the point of the flip-flop, it reduces the shield we have from ultraviolet radiation and other deep space electromagnetic radiation so that it's harmful to life on the planet.
We'll be right back after this message. Shocking, amazing heresy and blasphemy. Using over 100 video clips, you will see large, well-known ministers making shocking statements contrary to the Bible. Not just simple doctrinal errors, but open abomination, heresy, apostasy, even blasphemy. So bad, you'll have to see it to believe it. See some of your favorite, most popular pastors seduce you with lying signs and wonders. The biggest names teach a false Christ. Yes, it is true. Your mouth will fall open. God exposes the worst sins of the Bible in these DVDs called Error in the Church. Worse than the Old Testament. Nation-killing sins in America today. You won't be disappointed. You'll be furious. Beyond angry. I thank God that Leslie showed me these shocking errors, and I would never have known it or believed it if I had not actually seen it. This will keep Prophecy Club and you from falling into error. Don't miss it. The fantastic offer of Error in the Church. Call today and give a $50 gift, and we will immediately ship you the first three DVDs, 13 topics, 11 DVDs. And we put it together in a fantastic new offer. Call today and give a $50 gift, and we will immediately ship you the first three DVDs. 30 days later, we'll charge your card for the second $50 gift, then send you the final eight DVDs totaling 11 DVDs. 30 days later, we'll charge the third $50 gift. 30 days later, the fourth and final $50 gift, making it easy for you to get this fantastic set of 11 DVDs. That is four monthly gifts of $50 each. Error in the Church, 13 topics, 11 DVDs, valued at $330. Get started today for a gift of just $50. If you already placed an order, call 785-266 and we'll explain your great deal. Call 785-266-1112 and ask them for the fantastic Error in the Church offer. $50 donation gets you three DVDs heading your way today. Error in the Church, 785-266-1112. Error in the Church, 785-266-1112. Call today. And now, back to the program.
And so that it's harmful to life on the planet, especially in the ultraviolet C and B ranges, which can kill plant life as well as animal life, you know, over a period of time. We're going to be exposed there now as though we had ozone hole layers everywhere. And I'm sure there will be spots of better occupancy than others on the surface of the Earth as these thinning areas of the ozone layer form because of this magnetic field change. The pressure on the Earth to expand is on again. Now, I talked about the Earth expansion just briefly in the lecture on the Garden of Eden, but the Earth has undergone one massive expansion over a few hundred years. In ancient times, between 2100 BC and about 100 years after that, and all the continents rapidly separated as the surface of the Earth expanded to what it is now, which is one-third larger than it was at that time. We may be undergoing another expansion now as the Earth ages and slows down. If that's the case, it would explain why we're having massive earthquakes and volcanic increases all over the major fault lines and some that have been active for a long time, and why we're seeing a lot of sinkholes all over the planet. The sinkholes are usually caused by fluid flows, mainly of water, underground in areas that have been stable for as long as people can remember. But the problem is, even with these leaks and other things, the pressure, sidewise pressure of the Earth's dirt and stuff, kept everything held together by force. If we start to expand the planet and stretch that, we reduce that force which holds the land together, and then what has been there all along, the water erosion problem, suddenly becomes significant, and we have a sinkhole. All over the planet we're seeing these. In Siberia, they're even getting methane gas discharges out of the sinkholes are getting there because their hydrates are melting, methane hydrates are melting, and you can actually burn the gas coming out of these holes that are appearing there. Just light a flame and it'll ignite. That's all due to the changes we're seeing in the sun and in the Earth at the same time. Planets, moons, stars, galaxies all seem to follow a pattern of expanding as they age and slow down their spin. Kind of like a ballerina with her arms in close. She's small and concise, spinning on one foot. She raises her arms and stretches them out. As she does, her spin slows down. And conversely, as the spin slows down, her arms would then go out because they're not any longer held into the body. Same thing with the surface of the Earth. We are possibly going to see in our lifetime in the next 10 years a major impact in the oceans from a meteor, you know, a burning star. I don't know when that would occur, but certainly we've seen a number of close misses here in the last 5 years where meteors came sailing by and instruments couldn't pick them up until they were right on top of the Earth, you know, like maybe a tenth of the way, say 25,000 miles away from the surface of the Earth, and they just kind of almost have a glancing blow with our atmosphere. And we didn't see them because they weren't emitting enough light to pick them up on the telescopes. This is all fitting into, in my opinion, to the end times prophecy of a tribulation period of 7 years. And I think we're in the lead up to that now. Where 3 years from now, does it begin? Does it begin this year? Arguments could be made that the Shemitah, the four blood moons, is coming to an end September 13th this year, that there may be some significant events here in the United States which would remove the United States from the tribulation scenario later. If America, which is doing at the moment, the White House is doing, if America forces Israel to take a division of the land to announce Palestine as a two-state solution, if we do that and we divide Israel, then I think that the
big
United
problem. Big problem. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the planet X? Do you think there is another planet out there someplace that is going to get near the Earth and upset the apple cart and cause all kinds of signs and wonders and the sun and the moon and the stars upon the Earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring and men's hearts failing them for fear for looking after those things that are coming upon the Earth? Do you think there's another planet that's going to cause that?
Well, I don't know whether the planet causes it by coming real close to us, but there is an object out there. I've done the calculations. I've not seen it or been able to detect it, but this object, if it follows a planetary elliptical orbit, would have a period of about 3,600 years, and at the closest, it would come about 145 times the distance of the Earth from the Sun. But even that is causing pressure on the inner planets, well, the gas giants, Neptune and Uranus, and obviously Pluto, which is a moon or a small planetoid. They're being compressed in their orbits by something further out. Now, that compression does follow all the way down to the Sun. And if we are at the close approach of that at 145 AU, then that may cause problems in the Sun, which causes problems in the Earth and the inner planets. There's something going to certainly change everything, but one kind of wild card in the pack is this. We forget that the Sun, the solar system, is not just sitting in space all by itself doing nothing. It is orbiting in an arm of the Milky Way, you know, galaxy there. That arm, as it passes through space in the spin of the galaxy, passes through areas of space that may have, say, a dust cloud from an old supernova or something like that. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it does say that a cloud will form around the Sun, diminishing the light from it. Now, is that coming from ejected from the Sun, or is the whole solar system passing through it so that the light of the Sun does not reach the Earth in fullness at that time, and it's so thin that the light of the moon at night looks like blood color because of the reduced light getting out of the Sun?
Correct. There's another scripture that says the stars will withdraw their shining. How do you explain that?
Well, that means that the gas cloud will be around us. And it will block out the light of the stars. The other thing, too, is that there's a period there in the tribulation where the light of the Sun is seven times brighter. And you'd think, well, okay, that would mean that the heat on the surface of the Earth would be seven times what it is now. And so at 600 to 700 degrees Fahrenheit, it would cook the planet and everything on it, and you would die. It is well known that the irradiance factor of the Sun, the light coming out of it, comes out in many frequencies. If there's an increase in the ultraviolet range, that could be seven times brighter, which would be blue-white almost blind you with it, but it's not in the infrared, which is what heats up things, so that the corresponding increase in heat would be not as great, and we could survive that, and plant life could survive it, but it wouldn't be happy. So I'm just telling you that, you know, the scientific background to that, that it all fits. And in fact, if this happens in a sudden burst from the Sun and brightness, the side of the Earth that's facing that release of energy from the Sun is about one-third the surface area of the planet. It's not a full half because radiation would be too shallow and would bounce around it. The area affected by direct burst from the sunlight would be about a third of the area of the Earth, which makes you wonder, does this happen when the Earth is turned a certain way? A third of the ocean life is hit, a third of the trees and green grass are burned up from that emission right then, and then the other side of the planet is left intact. It would still heat up the planet overall, but it's just an interesting side effect that about a third of the surface area is what would be hit directly.
What do you think is going to cause the Earth to turn upside down? I mean, Isaiah 24, verses 1 and 19 says, "The Earth turneth upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof, and so it reels to and fro like a drunkard." Is that the planet X, or is that the Sun, or what's going to cause
that? I don't think it would be directly the planet of X, because if it came that close, we'd be in real trouble. Our whole solar system would be in trouble in the inner planets. But I think what does that will be closer to home, and that would be an asteroid impact on the Earth at the right angle while the Earth's magnetic field is reversing, and it would cause the Earth to flip upside down. In the Old Testament, the Sun stood still. You know, God had it stand still for a time, for a day and a bit. Now, people say, oh, well, if it stood still, would we fly off the planet losing gravity because we're not spinning? No. There's a whole other discussion that I'm working on at the moment, a paper on the nature of gravity and the fact that you can, the Earth itself is turning in relation to the gravitational field that actually pushes all the particles of Earth together to make a planet. But the distance between our atoms on the Earth is like 1,600 times the diameter of an atom. And so this field flowing through us drags our molecules of the Earth around with it slower, maybe 1/1,600th the speed of the actual field. But if we were to stop the Earth with an impact, God just says stop, the gravitational field would still be there because it's flowing through all the mass and we wouldn't be dragged along slowly with it by the impact it makes on our atoms, which are spaced by 1,600 times their diameter. Anyway, I digress, but that's kind of what I see over the next 10 years.
Wow. Well, I think that is awesome. Thank you very much for being on the Prophecy Club. If they want to get more information, then your website is standeo.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, folks, if you'd like to find out more about Stan, the information he has, it's standeo.com. Standeo, that's D-E-Y-O, standeo.com. Again, thank you very much for being on the Prophecy Club. Love to have you back again.
Thank you, Stan. S.J., see you again.
Well, brothers and sisters, if you enjoy having these kind of guests on the Prophecy Club, then we do need your prayers and your gifts of support. I'm asking that you pray about becoming one of the 50 additional people that I'm asking to commit to a gift of $50 a month. I'm also looking for 25 people who will commit to $100 a month, 10, $500 a month, 5, $1,000 a month, 3 people who would commit to $1,500 a month, and at least one person who would commit to an additional gift of $3,000 a month, as the Lord supplies, of course. This will help us to get on new radio stations. As a matter of fact, we have opportunity to get on 2 new stations right now, but of course, that all takes money. And we believe that you'd like to keep America strong. You'd like to see as many people saved as is possible before these things all start breaking apart. So if you'd like to help, then join the Prophecy Club as a partaker. There's 2 ways to do that. You can go to prophecyclub.com or you can call us at 785-266-1112. And if you'd like to, they can set you up with a regular monthly debit on your credit card. 785-266-1112. We do need your help. I don't ask for support too often, but when I ask for it, we do need it. So I'm looking for 50 people to commit to $50 a month, 25, $100 a month, 10, $500 a month, 5 people, $1,000 a month, 3 people, $1,500 a month, and at least one person, an additional $3,000 a month. Prophecyclub.com or 785-266-1112. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your gifts of support. God bless. Now from the Prophecy Club, some exciting opportunities for you. Shocking, amazing heresy and blasphemy. Using over 100 video clips, you will see large, well-known ministers making shocking statements contrary to the Bible. Not just simple doctrinal errors, but open abomination, heresy, apostasy, even blasphemy. So bad, you'll have to see it to believe it. See some of your favorite, most popular pastors seduce you with lying signs and wonders. The biggest names teach a false Christ. Yes, it is true. Your mouth will fall open. God exposes the worst sins of the Bible in these DVDs called Error in the Church. Worse than the Old Testament, nation-killing sins in America today. You won't be disappointed. You'll be furious, beyond angry. I thank God that Leslie showed me these shocking errors, and I would never have known it or believed it if I had not actually seen it. This will keep Prophecy Club and you from falling into error. Don't miss it. The fantastic offer of Error in the Church. Call today and give a $50 gift, and we will immediately ship you the first 3 DVDs, 13 topics, 11 DVDs, and we put it together in a fantastic new offer. Call today and give a $50 gift, and we will immediately ship you the first 3 DVDs. 30 days later, we'll charge your card for the second $50 gift, then send you the final 8 DVDs totaling 11 DVDs. 30 days later, we'll charge the third $50 gift. 30 days later, the fourth and final $50 gift, making it easy for you to get this fantastic set of 11 DVDs. That is 4 monthly gifts of $50 each. Error in the Church, 13 topics, 11 DVDs, valued at $330. Get started today for a gift of just $50. If you already placed an order, call 785-266 and we'll explain your great deal. Call 785-266-1112 and ask them for the fantastic Error in the Church offer. $50 donation gets you 3 DVDs heading your way today. Error in the Church, 785-266-1112. Error in the Church, 785-266-1112. Call today.